It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages, with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. And we have a special show today, but first I want to introduce to you my co-host. Can I say beautiful or it's not right?
Please say beautiful.
Oh, I can?
Yes.
Because, you know, when I started this with Carrie Kasem, it was part of her contract where I had to say beautiful every time I introduced her. I couldn't say
Carrie Kasem.
I didn't
know I could negotiate that in there.
Absolutely. So I haven't done it because out of respect, just in case you would get upset. And
would you call a man beautiful?
Probably not, no.
Damn. Okay.
I would call him
handsome.
Cute.
Okay.
Now, depending on who it is. If it's Jose, I would say, you know, very virile and masculine and
okay. Athletic.
Kevin, I would say very intellectual and smart and smiley. And Wayman, I would just say the legend. Wayman Porter, the legend. We have a legend in the show today. We haven't had a legendary hip-hop producer ever on Gervie's Law in its 14-year history. And today, later on, we are going to talk to Drumma Boy, who just finished a documentary with T.I.
You know, I love that we can talk to so many different types of people from so many different walks of life.
I know. When you think about it, when we started the season off, I think the first guest was Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah, we've come a long way.
We've come from Alan Dershowitz to Drumma Boy in one season with all kinds of different personalities and different luminaries in between. So you're completing your first season. We've got a few more weeks to go.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been?
Great. I mean, you're speaking of Alan Dershowitz. I remember I spent a while prepping for that show because he's a very intellectual person. And it was just interesting going from that to being able to speak to astrologers.
Susan Miller.
Yeah. And then some athletes. You know, I know nothing about sports, but I know a lot more now than I did before.
Yeah. One thing that we can say that you have proved on this show that you know nothing about sports. What was it when you said, was it to Alan Rothenberg or someone where you said that they were a professional basketball player or something?
And I think he was professional like skater
or something. I wish I could remember. I'm going to have to listen to all our podcasts at gervieslaw.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am going to figure out, because it was probably the best line of the whole season when you asked this, and I'm not going to disclose his age, but let's just say he, I think he organized the 1984 Olympics in LA. And so he is in his 80s. And I think you said that, you know, he was playing in the World Cup this summer. And we had talked to Alexi Lawless as well, a very well-known and legendary seems to be the word of the day today, soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you maybe accused him of being a hockey player or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's coming back to me. It's the Scott Hamilton thing. That's what it was when you accused Scott Hamilton, who wasn't able to make it to the show. He had to cancel. And I think you said that he was... what did you say? He was in the Olympics for this year and won the U.S. with the U.S. gold medal at the Hockey Olympics. But
yeah,
he was
me.
An announcer for figure skating.
You know what? I wish we got some more like fashion people in here so I could confuse you just as much.
I would love that. And we tried to get some fashion people. Didn't we have to try harder? Did we have any fashion people on?
No, we haven't had any like models or designers or... No,
well, we've had fashion. In the past, we've had fashionable people on. Who's your favorite guest this season?
You know, I really liked the energy of Melissa Errico.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
And who was he? Well, who was she on? Her husband. Who is that?
Her husband.
Look it up on your phone.
Patrick McEnroe.
That's right.
Yeah. No, but her energy just...
And you know, Patrick McEnroe, you talk about... He is a legend when you talk about baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great player he was.
You know, a memorable event, though, was when Corey Feldman came in with his security guard.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That Corey Feldman with his security, and that was fun, and he made that announcement. By the way, Patrick McEnroe played tennis, not baseball. But you were really taking notes during these interviews. Corey Feldman made that announcement that Dancing with the Stars was a toxic environment, and that went viral. That was probably a lot of publicity that we had not had before.
Yeah, talk about star power with that guy.
Yeah, and he said some things, and we were trying to get him to say things against Charlie Sheen because Charlie Sheen had talked about him, but he was afraid. He said, you know, he didn't want to get in trouble, but I said, hey, I'm a lawyer. I'll protect you.
How about that trio? Danny Abacasser, David Arquette, Daniela Pick. They had such great chemistry.
That was fun. I really enjoyed that. Quentin Tarantino's wife, Daniela, was a delight, I thought. And I never use that word.
Awesome.
I don't even know what it means. But she was a delight. And I really liked her and the two boys that came with her.
Yeah.
That was something. They were very nice and I enjoyed talking to them. That was a good one.
What about our episode when we were discussing the soft life?
Oh, yeah. That was popular. People really trashed you for that.
A lot of discourse there.
They trashed you.
You know what?
No,
I get so misunderstood.
You are misunderstood.
Yeah.
Everyone called you lazy because you were promoting the soft life and called me a hard ass. Can I say that, Wayman? I can say hard ass because I was so militaristic in terms of sticking to schedules and doing the right thing and never being late and all
but,
of that stuff.
You know, we've had some women who fall in line with that, like Gloria Allred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And Gloria's been great. We just love Gloria. If there's one person who is the most genuine, sincere, and really nice person who's so smart and has done so much great work for not only women's rights, but individual rights, it's Gloria Allred. Of all the guests that we've had on this show, I think I have the most respect for her. I don't know why, but I do know why. Because she is a woman of her word. She is so committed to what she says and does, and she is such a nice person.
Yeah. I also found it funny, the episodes we hosted with the people who are running against each other.
In elections you're talking about.
Yeah, elections, yeah.
Yeah, they were on their best behavior. We had a few of them, and I don't know. I'd rather be able to, you know, call them out on things. But when you have the candidates on, you try and be on your best behavior, and that's what I was on my best behavior.
Yeah, because they could be your next mayor or judge.
Well, the mayor candidates that we had on will not be our next mayor.
I think the polls are showing that,
The last time we had Karen Bass on, and she did become mayor, but the polls are not in favor of the candidates that we had on. What was your favorite interview of the whole season?
Ooh, my favorite interview of the whole season. Well, what was yours?
Oh, you're just trying to
I'm thinking.
I'll give you, you know, and I do that when I do depositions. I always tell my clients that if you're not sure how to answer something, just ask a question. That's the best way because then it gives you some time to think about it and it diverts attention and all of that stuff. So you've successfully diverted attention. I really like the Ed McCaffrey interview that we did. Ed McCaffrey, 3-time Super Bowl winner. So he was, you know, really a great hockey player. Right?
No, I know he doesn't do hockey. He's the one who
doesn't do hockey.
Olivia Culpo's father-in-law.
Good. I knew you'd remember it.
Usually I know a lot of the men in sports through their girlfriends, wives, or...
And I do remember with Lee Steinberg, you asked him if you can get tickets to his Super Bowl event next year in L.A.
Yeah, that'd
remember
be great.
Remember Lee Steinberg? Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say that was my favorite episode. And Lee, if you're listening to this, I am still interested in going to the Super Bowl party next year.
What? You know, you've learned a lot from me, I think. You kiss up
showbiz.
Like no other, you know, and to say, you know, I really did like the Ed McCaffrey interview, but I kind of want to see if he'll get Christian McCaffrey to come on. Don't you think it would be great having Christian on?
Yeah, I want to try more of his protein snacks.
His protein bites?
Yeah.
Who's Christian McCaffrey?
His son.
Yeah, so that was good. And what does he do?
Football.
Very good. You're right on. What team does he play for?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I was pushing that. Yeah. That was no way that was happening. He plays for the 49ers. And in fact...
Are they any good?
The 49ers? They're they're pretty decent. They're playing against my team, the Minnesota Vikings, this season. The schedule was just announced recently. And guess where it is?
L.A.?
No, in your hometown.
Oh, Beverly Hills in Orange County?
Mexico City.
Oh, cool. That's, you know, Mexico City's up and coming. I've been hearing a lot of people go there.
So, so I'm kind of interested in going to see the Vikings playing the 49ers
cool.
there. And
you know,
seeing Christian McCaffrey, Ed McCaffrey's
what
son.
What sport I know a decent amount of? Basketball.
You do?
Yeah.
That shocks me.
I love basketball. You know what it is? It's very fast-paced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have any basketball players on this season.
I know. We got to work on that.
We're going to get some.
Yeah.
For you, we'll get Anthony Edwards. How about that?
I don't know.
Would you
is.
Get really psyched about Anthony Edwards?
I don't know. What team does he play for?
Minnesota. Of course, anything Minnesota. I say will be on a
Why
team
don't
from
you
Minnesota.
Stick to the LA teams like Clippers, Lakers?
I do like the Clippers.
Okay.
They got the number 5 pick.
The Lakers got swept this playoff.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And hopefully LeBron will take his ball and go home so that they can rebuild and get a decent team.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
But the Clippers got the 5th pick in the draft. We're looking forward to that. And so we'll do basketball, hopefully, because I didn't know you had that interest.
Well, I just really like going to the games and seeing everybody's outfits on courtside.
And sitting in the front row and being on the TV with all the other celebs. That's Michelle Lobato for you. But you did a great job this year, and we still
Thanks.
Have some shows
Likewise,
left
yeah.
before the summer. We still have some shows left.
Yeah, we just had that British guy on, Steve Hilton.
The British guy. He may be the next governor.
Exactly.
I don't know, but I don't know. But someone who we need to talk to is Drummer Boy. That's who we need to talk to, because Steve Hilton may want to fix all the problems in California, and Drummer Boy... He's the one who really has it going on.
Yeah.
And he's up next. Now, on the line is the legendary Drummer Boy, who I want to tell you a little bit about, Michelle, because
okay.
I know
yeah.
you know very little about music.
I would disagree, but go ahead.
You know, voices are so important, and we've had so many legendary voices on the show over the last 14 years. But I'll tell you one thing. We have never had a legendary hip-hop producer on the show. I don't think so. Can you remember? How long have you been doing the show?
I don't recall. In a couple months.
A couple months.
Yeah.
You're not even old enough to remember when the show started. I think you were in diapers.
Jeez.
But
been a while.
For a show like this, it really suits you because you're right up to date on all the music scene. You are hip.
Yeah.
I don't know about your hop, but you're definitely hip. I want to talk about the legendary Drummer Boy, who is a Grammy Award winner, multi-platinum producer of so many amazing acts. A lot of them I like, and I know you like mostly all of them. People like Drake and Usher, Juicy J, T.I., we're going to talk about T.I., Wiz Khalifa, Gucci Mane, Jeezy, just to name a few of the amazing, powerful acts that he has produced and been involved with, and he's a rapper in his own right. He pioneered the trap sound, and I know you know a little bit about the trap sound.
Yeah, it's big in Southern California.
It absolutely is, and all over. The Birth of Trap Music is the documentary, which premiered at the Atlanta Film Festival last month, and that's something that he did in collaboration with T.I., and I want to welcome to Gervie's Law right now, Drummer Boy.
Hey, yeah, boy, what's happening? What up, Cali?
Hey, nice to have you on the show. I'll tell you, you've done so much, and you're taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. And, you know, really, we want to know how the birth of trap music came about, because I want to read something really quickly, and a lot of people, and this is from The Source, it says, at its core, the birth of trap music is not just a story about a genre. It's a story about resilience, creativity, and the ability to turn adversity into art. It honors the pioneers who built the movement while challenging audiences to understand the deeper social realities behind the sound. We're not just talking about sound. We're talking about something bigger, aren't we, Drummer?
Absolutely, absolutely, man. And it's always an honor to pay homage, you know, to the Master P's and the Manny Fresh's. When you see what Manny Fresh did as a producer, holding a complete label, an entire organization down sound-wise.
Wow.
You know, what were going through the minds of the producers to make some of these rappers, what make Jeezy say standing ovation? or I put on for my city. It was the beats that pulled out the ideas and the words and whatnot. DJ Toonk playing beats for T.I. What made T.I. say ASAP, or motivation, you know, and hearing the music that allows them to tell the perfect story, you know. So a lot of times the producers aren't always glorified or given, right, you know, the proper just due. So I wanted to gather all of the producers from that sound. We got Shawty Red, we got DJ Toonk, myself, Saytoven, Fat Boy, Don Cannon, you know, talking to DJ Drama, talking to T.I., and getting in the minds of, you know, what their perspective was and what inspired them to create some of the most notable lyrics today that have inspired the Futures and inspired the 21 Savages and the Rick Rosses and so on and so forth, who are killing it, you know, today.
Drama, you're talking a lot about inspiration. I know you grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. How would you say that inspired your music creation?
Man, it was huge growing up in Memphis. Our big, you know, godfathers of the hip-hop sound in Memphis were 3-6 Mafia, 8-Ball and MJG. You know, even having a relationship with the guys before that, like the Isaac Hayes, the Al Green, they were friends of the family.
Wow.
The Boo Mitchell, Willie Mitchell family, you know, Royal Studios.
You're dating
Studios.
Yourself, Drama. That's a way back.
Oh, yeah, and I was just a little kid. Like, yeah. I'd be 3, 4, and Isaac Hayes would be in the living room. You
wow.
know what I'm saying? Or I go to church, Patti LaBelle is over here, or Aretha Franklin, you know? So it was just a blessing. Growing up in the church, one thing I understood is that no matter the ethnicity, you were either brother or sister.
Mm.
Sister Johnson, Brother Gonzalez, whatever. And that was the thing. That was the camaraderie, whether you were the janitor or the preacher or just the bells lady or just an attendee of a member of the church.
Yeah.
We were all brothers and sisters, no matter.
And the church has some good music, don't they?
Absolutely. That was one of the things, my big upbringing, the church. And then, you know, my dad was in the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, first chair clarinetist for 39 years. So
growing
up around the Nutcracker performances and the ballets and, you know, learning Mozart, Beethoven, Sebastian, those were the things that allowed me to learn composing, arranging. I could have been in a youth symphony orchestra, but I had an older brother, RIP to my older brother, Insane Wayne. Wayne was the guy who showed me how to make beats. He was the guy who was best friends with Jazzy Faye, Slice T, Paragon. He cut hair for 3-6 Mafia. He cut Ballin' G's hair. He was one of the number one barbers in the city. I wanted to be around him, so I started sweeping hair for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started playing my beats for the 3-6 Mafias and the Ballin' G's and so on and so forth. So people started saying, man, you going to be the next thing out of Memphis. I got on a Tila album. I met a guy by the name of Yo Gotti, and I did 12 songs on Yo Gotti's, one of his first albums, Life album. And then we worked through the I&E, Inevitable Entertainment stage until he developed into CMG, which is notably known, you know, till today.
Wow. You know, you bring up your inspiration, your brother Wayne, and he was fatally shot, and then you had the strength. And what was it in you that you took your bro's kids in and your faith? How do you get beyond that? And what does he mean to you with respect to the success that you've had that has been so legendary?
I mean, the motivation has been in what he left behind, his kids, knowing that I'm the only person who could do what's necessary to be done and to step up. At that particular time, I didn't have kids myself, so it allowed me to get a lot of things in line, such as the state, his fundings that were owed to him, publishing and getting all of that directed and making sure that his kids, which he has 4 kids as well as 4 grandbabies. So just making sure that they have future, that they're in college, they're doing the right thing and able to, you know, have a father figure in their life that can not only motivate them, inspire them, but support them. You know, that's one of the biggest things we need as youth is support.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that, because that ain't easy.
Yeah, and diving more into the music production, I know a lot of trap music happens to reference a lot of difficult upbringings, you know, difficult situations.
Drugs.
And yeah, drugs, you know, all of that. But what would you say is important for listeners who maybe don't listen to trap music to take away from that?
T.I. said it best, you know, he said, don't look at us as drug dealers or hip-hop thugs or whatever. Like, look at us as refugees of the war on drugs.
Mm.
Like, you wake up in a community, you live in Section 8, born into Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're born into this Claiborne Homes
mm-hmm.
or whatever project environment. And you have to do the best with what you have out of that environment. You didn't place these drugs in this environment. You didn't place the guns there.
Right.
It's overseas built style guns that are popping up in these areas. How are they getting there?
Right.
So you got kids that are growing up infested in this environment and just simply rapping about.
Have you seen Memphis get any better in that regard?
Absolutely. But it's all been the inspiration and having some way or form of expression.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to express yourself and to vent and for somebody to hear you out. And that's normally the producer or A&R. It was an A&R that heard NBA's story, that felt the pain was going on in this young man and said, hey, we're going to put up $1 million and sign him. What
wow.
makes you sign this particular artist? You know, same for Extension, R.I.P. You know, it's so many young men that Young Dog, good friend of mine, R.I.P. Like, I watch guys go from $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 in their pocket to buying an $8 million mansion cash mm-hmm. in LA off of music.
Yeah.
In your book, Behind the Hits, which is so well received, don't you think a lot of people need to be educated and hear from you the real truth of what's behind the music?
Absolutely. And I give you the business breakdown, even the success that you hear me talking about is production and this and that. To break it down, I'm doing all the music. So that's 50% of the song. There's another 50%, which is the lyrics. A lot of guys who didn't understand publishing, who don't know about IPI numbers or a PRO, Performing Rights Organization, like BMI, or ASCAP
yeah.
that collect money for you. Understanding how to register songs and sound exchange and so on and so forth. Having your own IRSC code, UPC code, all of those different things are things that you learn through me and that infrastructure. And I got it from a lady by the name of Wendy Day. I always shout her out on every podcast or interview. Wendy Day was doing free workshops in Memphis at University of Memphis. Certain people went, certain people didn't. It's free information. Why you need an entertainment attorney, the importance of management, and all of those things to help you run and scale your business.
And I'll tell you something.
I was learning that at 17.
The kids growing up now have no idea. I mean, what you've been through and how you understand the business side of it, that's not something that's top of mind. So if you can spread the word so they understand and have that balance from their creativity in their music to exactly what you're talking about, that's really something that there's a void in music.
Absolutely. And that, we do workshops, you know, so many guys, SAE Institute here in Atlanta. We're on the way to Nashville now to do some things with Belmont as well as MTSU. And just always giving back to, you know, not only my local environment, but back home to the state of Tennessee and doing as much for the youth. If I'm in Miami, we're touching the community. If I'm in California, we're touching the communities. We're working with the next upcoming guys. And, you know, a lot of people reach out and can see when I'm in certain areas, particularly if I'm hosting an event or doing a walkthrough or something like that, man. And we always, that's the beauty of the industry, is finding the hidden gems. There are hidden gems everywhere.
Mm.
You know, absolutely. And when you gather at the Atlanta Film Festival, tell us how that experience was with the birth of trap music and how that was received, your documentary that so many people are talking about.
It's amazing. Like, I've been talking about this thing. And it's one thing to talk about something. That's another thing I can speak on is action. Because this is something that I've been talking to my peers and my friends. And a lot of people really just, it was a conversation to them. Yeah, okay, yeah, I hear you, Jerome. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. And then it keep going on to another conversation. But until I had a piece of work, a piece of art in the form of 28 minutes, short film, very well packaged and documented of all of this different footage that we've captured over the years, which is obviously going to turn into a docuseries, maybe 8-10 episodes. People are saying that it could be a multi-season, blah, 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 because of how much footage we have. But it was even hard combining all of this in a 28-minute short film, which we won the Real South Grand Jury Award at the Atlanta Film Festival, presented by PBS, by the way.
Amazing.
So it's just been amazing to, you know, make that impact and not have to constantly repeat yourself. Now I made a form of
That's
work
great.
That you can push play. A million
Tell
times.
It'll
All
explain
I
everything.
Do is say this One.
You tell everyone how Here's they can friend. Do that. I want to hear how they can do that. How can they see the birth of trap music?
Well, it's coming to different film festivals. So our next film festival should be Bronze Lens Film Festival. But it may trailer still, the 3-minute trailers still may be available on Atlanta Film Festival's website. So you have to do a little
thing
and maybe type in Atlanta Film Festival, birth of trap music, and you might be lucky to find that trailer still on the site.
And they can always follow you at Drummer Boy Fresh at your Instagram for any of the things that are coming up.
Absolutely. At Drummer Boy Fresh is my Instagram, my website, drummerboy.com. We'll be doing a lot of updates here in the future pertaining to that stuff. And we should be in town for BET Awards as well. So,
oh, that'd be great.
For the fans, they'll be in town for LA.
I really would look forward to that. And I want to thank you for being on. This is something that Gervie's Law hasn't really been exposed to. And we have so many listeners on the younger side and, you know, your age. You're still young, Drama. So, you know, even
yes.
though you've got all this behind you, the experience and amazing work, we appreciate you sharing it with us today on Gervie's Law.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Take care. And that'll do it for another episode of Gervie's Law, hip hop style. We'll see you next week.
Still be wasting days away now, had I never saved the day. Consider them my protege. Homage, I think they should pay. Instead of being gracious, they violate in a major way. I never been a